All right, starting off hour number three, I am Jim Rome. Hour number three of the most important week of the year. Welcome to the program. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, you know that Rocket can. All right, so 1-800-636-8686. Coming up in about 20 minutes from right now, I've got a golf rider for the Fire Pit Collective, Alan Shipnook. That's then. But right now, we are joined by a Super Bowl champion, an All-Pro, a four-time Pro Bowler, 8 1,000-yard seasons. He retired as the Rams' all-time leader in receptions, receiving yardage, and yards from scrimmage. 1,024 receptions, more than 15,000 yards, 91 touchdowns, a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2020, founder of the Isaac Bruce Foundation, and holding an online sweepstakes for the Isaac Bruce Foundation. We are joined by Isaac Bruce. Isaac, good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Mr. Rome. I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Good. Good to have you on. So bring me up to date. You and I spoke last February, right after it was announced that you were going into the Hall of Fame. Of course, that plan at that time was for you to be inducted last August. Everything changed. And a few weeks after the class was announced, we had a whole different look at it. So bring me up to date. What have the last 16 months or so been like for you?
Kind of like a lot of people, a lot of quarantining, just getting to know oneself a little bit better, growing, spending time with my family. And, you know, once everything started to kick back up, started getting back in preparation for a celebration that we have going in August, man. So it's a great time, planning on having a lot of fun and handing out a lot of public thank yous. So that's the process right now.
Now, I appreciate that. Isaac Bruce joining us. I appreciate that, and I appreciate the answer, especially the part about getting to know yourself a little bit better. I think we all have. So 2 months ago, the gold jacket was actually delivered. What was that moment like?
Oh, that was so real, man. I mean, you see iconic pieces of clothing, material, and jewelry, but just to have one actually in your hand, in your possession, and have the ability to try it on and put it on, and I think I just wore it about just about in every room of my house, outside, took some personal pictures. It was fun, Jim, just having it on. And you know, I've seen some of the greats with jackets, the Terrell Owens, the Jim Browns, guys who have made tremendous contributions to the game of football that we all love.
Isaac Bruce joining us. I also love that response, too. Now, the thing is, Isaac, when you get that jacket, you actually have to give it back so they can have it ready for you in Canton in August. So what was it like to have that thing for a while, rock it for a while, and know that you have to give it back?
Oh, man, it's like being a kid again, man. When you get your first bicycle, a better question for you is to ask me, have I sent it back already? And that answer would be no.
Now, a better question would be, are you going to send it back? Because they're going to demand it.
Indeed they are. But, you know, just when you get it, man, it's hard to send it back. I mean, because it's a culmination of a lot of people that help you get to that moment. And, you know, I want to show it off to them, give them an opportunity to, you know, touch it, maybe take a personal picture with it if they can. But don't post anything right now. But, you know, it's hard to send it back, Jim. I mean, a couple of my classmates, I heard, you know, Jimmy Johnson talk about how hard it is for him to send it back. And you know, eventually we'll get it back to Canton for the celebration to make sure that, you know, everything's in proper place for the celebration. But, you know, I have to warn them, they probably have to dry clean mine before we do that celebration.
I like it. Isaac Bruce joining us. Yeah. So the Hall decided to delay your induction for a year instead of doing some sort of online or Zoom induction. You know, you've mentioned this already, that there's so many people you want to thank and you want to mention. What do you think it's going to be like then to go in with all of your class and the class of 2021, you get to do this in person with your friends and your family? What do you think that's going to be like as an experience?
Well, I'll tell you what, as a fan, I'm also a fan of football. Just being around those great players, those who have come before me, the very shoulders of the people who we stand upon, and just being able to, you know, kind of mix and share and hear stories from these guys, I think it's going to be extra exciting. I mean, I'm still a fan of the game. I think the Pro Football Hall of Fame Museum is just awesome. Any football fan that's been a fan of this game should make that pilgrimage to Canton just to see it. And it's inspirational, and that's what it's called. It's deemed that. So just to be around so many great people who were at the very top of a profession, I think I can learn a lot from those guys and be able to, you know, share some of their stories in my public speaking adventures.
We were talking to Isaac Bruce. So, of course, Isaac, when you go into the Hall of Fame, you have to decide who it is you want to present for your induction. For those Correct. Who don't know, who did you settle upon? Not settle upon, but who did you decide upon and why?
Samuel Bruce. That's my older brother. He's going to be part of my presentation along with Tony Wiley, another person that's very, you know, I felt like was very instrumental in my development as a professional football player. But my brother Samuel is the actual one who introduced me or imparted the love of football to me. I mean, just growing up watching him play, his Little League practices, his Little League games, and always hearing his name called over the, you know, over the speaker, from the announcer speaker, and just really seeing the way he played the game, where his approach made me want to play it the exact same way. And it, you know, I didn't feel like I had really reached the mountaintop until I beat him in a foot race or beat him in one-on-one basketball. And from that standpoint, I felt like I was legitimate in what I was attempting to do.
Isaac Bruce joining us. All right, how about a couple of quick thoughts about the Rams and what you see from them right now? What were your initial thoughts when they made that deal for Matthew Stafford?
I am a wide receiver as well. I was really excited about it. You're talking about a guy who will get some votes as far as the Pro Football Hall of Fame when his career is over, Matthew Stafford. I mean, I believe if he were to retire right now today, he'd probably get some votes. I mean, the guy's got 45,000 career passing yards. I felt like he's never had a coach that's on the caliber of Coach McVay, a guy that can really mix it up as far as pre-snap reads are concerned, can really keep a defense on its heels. Just to be, you know, in a connection, you know, with Coach McVay, I think he's really going to blossom this year. You know, adding that mix to what we did defensively last year, I think we can really, really win this NFC West once again, which I believe is the best division in football, considering the quarterback play, the head coaches that are calling the offensive plays of the ball. And I just think we're the team that's going to come out of that NFC West. And I'm excited about what we brought in, the Tutu Atwells. I think he'll add a lot to what we do offensively. DeSean Jackson being able to take that top off the defense. I just think it just opens up everything Sean McVay wants to do that he was kind of handcuffed in doing a couple of years later with, you know, when golf started to kind of straight to the left. So just having Matthew Stafford in that combination, man, I'm expecting big games this year.
Isaac Bruce joining us, Hall of Fame class of 2020. We have a few moments and a few more things to discuss with him. Isaac, really quickly, in the build-up to this year's draft, there were comparisons made between you and Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith. What was your reaction when you heard those comparisons, and do you see any of yourself in him?
You know what? To be honest, I do. I felt like his college career was probably 10 times better than, you know, my college career. That being said, you know, with the competition that he played against in the SEC, you know, people, he played not only against the players, but SEC coaching. I feel that it's very similar to what happens in the NFL. So when you come out every week with a defensive staff that's geared to stop you with NFL players, and you perform at the level that you did, I think his game translates directly to the NFL, and I think he'll be a great pro. I feel like he was a great pick for the Philadelphia Eagles, a guy who can, in my opinion, he will be very similar to what Julio Jones performed in Atlanta. I mean, just a guy who can get open, he can separate, he catches the ball in the crowds. And when he went against LSU in college, man, which is considered defensive back university, he just annihilated those guys. So I'm expecting great things from him. I think he's a great, humble kid, coachable, and he's going to make a lot of noise in the league.
Isaac Bruce, my guest. Now, you're doing an online sweepstakes for the Isaac Bruce Foundation. Yeah. It involves a trip to Canton for the induction ceremony. It's going to be such an enormous weekend in and of itself. Lay this out for me. What is involved in that prize package, and how do people get involved?
Well, you can get involved by going to letsengage.com/Isaac, I-S-A-A-C. That's how you spell my name. And fans have a chance to win a once-in-a-lifetime Pro Football Hall of Fame experience. The grand prize is a round-trip airfare for two, three-night hotel stay for friends and family at the very hotel where my friends and family and my former teammates will be staying. two tickets to the sold-out pre-enshrinement tailgate, two tickets to the 2020 class enshrinement. So I think it's very special, not only for Los Angeles Rams fans and St. Louis fans, but just football fans in general, because, like I said, if you love football, Canton should be one of your destinations just to really see where this game that we play, this game that we love, where it all started and the people who started it. So it's very easy. Just go to that website, letsengage.com/Isaac.
One more thing about that, Isaac, is it's an amazing opportunity for somebody to experience that weekend. But I want to make the point, the money raised is going to the foundation, but specifically the Flight 300 program. And yes, this goes back to when you graduated high school. You had a scholarship to a junior college here in California, but struggled to find the resources to get there. How did you get there? And then what's it mean for you to be able to pay that forward now?
Well, Jim, I got there by the grace of God, man. I really can't really pinpoint just that one person that provided those $300 in funds for an airline ticket for myself. But it did show up. And that's one of the things when I created the Flight 300 program that comes out of the Isaac Bruce Foundation, man. We wanted to provide transportation to college-bound students in need. This is a need that's kind of under the surface, and a lot of students need it, not only athletes, but the students that are just there for academics. And no applicant is turned away by the program since 2006, man. We provide one-way airfare, dorm decor, and we help them with check bags, because some of the kids get to the counters at the airports and don't have money for their bags to go. So you'd be surprised, but it's a reality. And I felt like we could step in there and kind of bridge that gap to relieve some stress from some of these future students so they can go on and just really focus on the academics.
Great cause. He is the founder of the Isaac Bruce Foundation, once again holding an online sweepstakes for the Isaac Bruce Foundation, which is laid out. A member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2020. My man, congratulations on all that. I hate that they're going to take that jacket back, but you'll know it belongs to you. You know whose jacket that is.
Right.
Isaac, great to have you on. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, have a great day. That's got to be hard, right? Like, they send you that jacket. You can hang out with that jacket. Wear the jacket, pose in the jacket, let others be seen in the jacket. Like, we need that thing back. Then they don't take back the Super Bowl ring. I like what he said, though. Yeah, I admit it's going to be pretty hard to get that thing back. Isaac Bruce, he had a great, great career, obviously. He said what he said about Matthew Stafford, I thought was really interesting, that if he were to stop right now, he'd definitely get votes. But he's never had a coach like this, and he's expecting big things from him.
That's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome. 1-800-636-8686. You want to know something else pretty awesome? I can't confirm this. I heard, and what's weird is I can't confirm this, but I heard he's actually going to live in my neighborhood. And I don't know if that's true or not. Weird stuff in my neighborhood. Like, there are athletes who live in my neighborhood that I don't know if they do or they don't. It's like these myths, these stories. I'll let you know if I see him, because that would be awesome. At the Real Left Hook tweets, we don't know who Ricky Fowler is either, and never will. Signed, the Major Championships.
From Marina, California, welcome Ricky Fowler.
You can say about Marina. Marina is famous for a couple of people. Daniel Jeremiah and Ricky Flower, in that order.
California, welcome Ricky Flower.
At Drunk Bowler 857, is there any other kind? At Drunk Bowler 857 tweets, as a contractor, I will be working late Thursday and showing up extremely early on Friday to make sure the job is done by 8 a.m. Attaboy, Harry. That's what I'm saying. Just set it up. Just do what you have to do. Get clear so you do not miss the smack off. Just set it up. Hi, Bryson. Congratulations on your win. And I'd like to know how you feel after the game. I mean, are you ready to give it another try? Signed, that tennis reporter.
Hi. Nadal, congratulations on your win. And I would like to know, how do you feel after the game and if you're ready to give it another try?
I lost, by the way.
Yeah, I know, but it's a win anyway.
Not really. Not according to the scoreboard.
Hi.
That might be my favorite exchange ever between a reporter and an athlete. Congratulations on your win. I lost. Yeah, but it's a win anyway. Nah. I mean, listen to him. He's like, not really. No offense, no. First one of six games. Who wins by two or more wins the set. Unless they go to a tiebreaker. No. In the best two out of three sets, the first one of two sets wins. Best three out of five. And do you even know what you're watching? That is absolutely incredible. Rome. I'm sorry. It's incredible. Like, before I could even get out of this segment, there's reaction to the reaction. Rome, I'm sorry, but did a contractor just promise to have something done on time? Yeah, right. Thanks, every homeowner ever. Man, that's the truth, isn't it? I hate to be that guy, but I've lived that life. I've lived that life, so I know. Yeah, you're not going to be on time. All right, we take a break. Now, when Chip Nook is coming up next. He is a golf writer for the Fire Pit Collective. He is on it. Wall Street has been lying for years. They tell you this 7% is a good return on your stocks, but it's not. They tell you trading is so complex that you have to have a financial advisor. No, you don't. Real people are making real money, 30, 50. I'm telling you, even 100% a year. Trading stocks. They're making that kind of money on their money by trading stocks, even when the market's tough. Carnivore Trading is the reason. Carnivore Trading, an anonymous team of elite Wall Street strategists. They are legends among Wall Street heavy hitters, and now they've gone rogue. They're letting everyday folks like you and me mirror their explosive trades. I subscribe to it. The texts start early in the morning, and I get them all day long. If it sounds too good to be true, go ahead and check this out. Carnivore will let you see the trades that they're making right now for free. Go to getourtrades.com. Use the promo code Rome and get 2 weeks for free. If you join, Carnivore guarantees you'll get five times your subscription fee or double your money back. Go to getourtrades.com, promo code Rome. Getourtrades.com, promo code R-O-M-E. See website for guarantee terms and conditions. Past performance not a guarantee of future earnings.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
The next generation of paint protection is here already. New 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating will provide up to 12 months of professional level protection. Insane water beating, jaw-dropping shine. All of that with one simple application. Visit 303radio.com for more information. Got a good one for you right here. We are joined by a longtime golf writer, a contributor to Golf Digest, recipient of 11 first place awards from the Golf Writers Association of America, I should say. Partner at the Fire Pit Collective. He is the author of 6 books. He is Alan Shipnook. Alan, what's going on? Good to have you back. How are you?
I'm happy you're back, Rumi. Thanks for having me.
So good to have you. I was looking forward to it. Listen, you've got a great, great piece up for Golf Digest on Jon Rahm's win yesterday. What was going through your head? Let me start right here, Alan. What was going through your head when you watched one big player after another implode on the back nine the way they did?
Well, of course, I was enjoying it because that is the essence of the United States Open. You need carnage. It's designed to be a war of attrition. I mean, the way they set up the golf course, it's supposed to push the players to the breaking point, physically, mentally, you know, metaphysically. It's just, that's what this tournament's all about. And so it was delicious. But you hope in the end someone will do something dramatic to make it memorable. You don't want the champion to limp home. And so when Ron made that putt on 17, you could kind of feel the moment building. And of course, that instantly famous putt on 18 to essentially win the win the U.S. Open was the moment we needed. I mean, 13 years after Tiger holed a similar putt to the same pin position on the same green, it was really an incredible exclamation point on a very memorable final round.
No doubt, Alan Chipnook joining us. So why don't we talk about each of those two putts? What about when he got to 17, that 25-footer for birdie? What did you make of that putt?
What was interesting is, well, as you mentioned, all the players who were blowing up out there. Obviously, Bryson DeChambeau was the most spectacular self-immolation, but Rory McIlroy, Colin Morikawa, I mean, Brooks Koepka, these are big-time players, and they were just getting their teeth kicked in by Torrey Pines. And during all that, Rom was just making, you know, these gritty U.S. Open pars, which is what you have to do, and he just hung in there. And it was impressive the patience he displayed, because you could tell he was getting a little edgy. He wanted to make something happen. And, you know, that putt on 17 was not an easy one. I mean, it had about 3 feet of break and coming down the hill, but it was like he was finally rewarded. He hadn't pushed too hard like some of these other guys. And it was just a beautiful kind of feel putt. You just feed it down, and he just matched the speed and the line so perfectly. And he deserved that. I mean, he played lights out golf the whole way, and he just waited. It's kind of like when you're on the freeway and you're just cruising, and all of a sudden you just step on the gas. That's what it felt like. So, I mean, that was a harder putt than the one in 18. Although, of course, the magnitude of the moment might change that calculus. But you know, when Rom poured that in on 17, it was like, here we go. You could just feel something special coming.
Alan Chipnook is joining us. Alan, I thought you had an amazing line in the piece about 18. Quote, holding a putt like this has almost nothing to do with technical proficiency. It is an x-ray of the soul, a referendum on the unseen parts of a golfer that cannot be measured with a TrackMan, heart, guts, balls. End of quote. So that putt on 18, maybe not technically as tough as 17, but what's that putt tell you about this guy's heart, his guts, and, well, you know, his nad?
Well, he needs a wheelbarrow for last of those bits.
Right.
I mean, that's every player, you know, grows up saying they want to putt to win the U.S. Open until that moment arrives, and then so many just shrink from it. And, you know, Rom has been a top prospect for a long time. I mean, there's some great stories about when he was an undergrad at Arizona State, he was getting in Phil Mickelson's pocket regularly, and Phil was calling the guys at Callaway saying, you need to sign this dude. He's like one of the 10 best players in the world right now. And, you know, he's in science class. And so you could see this was coming. I mean, Rom's been a consistent winner on the U.S. PGA Tour and in Europe. And he's had a lot of, you know, top tens of the majors. Like, he was due. We all knew this was going to happen. But this was really the first time he faced that defining moment. And to absolutely gut that putt like he did, it just instantly separates him from all these other kind of talented young players who just don't have that sort of karmic ability to make that putt. I mean, anyone on the PGA Tour can make an 18-footer at any time, but to do it with the U.S. Open hanging in the balance was very macho. And, you know, Tiger Woods established an impossible standard. Like, no one is ever going to close out tournaments and big tournaments the way that the Tiger did so, you know, ruthlessly. But I think Rom can be a closer of the first, you know, magnitude. And golf really needs that. I mean, you know, even Brooks Koepka, who kind of built his brand on winning the big ones, the last 2 years, he let a bunch get away, including yesterday. I mean, three bogeys in the last six holes, and when he had a beauty, you know, prime opportunity to win. And a lot of these guys just don't get it done. And for Rom, you know, to kick down the door like that, it's really special, and it makes, you know, me and I think everyone else in the golf world quite excited to see where he goes from here.
See, I was going to go there next. Alan Chipnook joining us, because your piece for Golf Digest opens with this, quote, sometimes if we're lucky, the man and the moment collide on the 72nd hole, producing transcendence. Think Seve at St. Andrews or Tiger at Torrey or Phil at Augusta. Time will tell if John Rahm deserves to share the same sentence as those legends. End of quote. You're right, Alan. Time will tell. But if you had to guess or you had to bet years from now, is he going to deserve to share the same sentence as those legends?
I mean, I think he has a chance to be in that pantheon. I mean, you look at Phil. all those players had a fatal flaw in some ways. You know, Phil couldn't drive the ball on the planet, and Seve got in his own head, and basically he was done in his mid-30s with swing changes and sort of paralysis. And Tiger, while his game was bulletproof, we know his life was a mess off the course. And Rom seems to have it all figured out. I mean, from every aspect of his game is incredibly sound. I mean, he hits it a mile. He's extremely precise. He's got these magic hands. You know, he's sort of a descendant of Seve and Jose Mariola Thobel. You know, Paul Casey told me he's just got those Spanish hands. There's just something in the way he tips and pitches that is so beautiful. And he obviously can make the putts that matter. And he's married. He's got a kid. He's got this whole support staff around him. And, you know, Phil's become a great friend and mentor. And it just seems like he's got everything figured out at age 26. And I really think that he's just going to keep going. I mean, there's not a golf course setup that doesn't work for him. I mean, he can shape the ball. He can play all the crafty shots in the wind at the Open. He can bomb it at a PGA Championship and in Augusta. He can obviously survive a tough, narrow U.S. Open setup. So, Nick Faldo has 6 major championships. He's sort of the gold standard for European golfers. I would not be surprised in the least if Rom gets there. And then that's very rarefied air. I mean, there's only a dozen guys that have won more than that. So, it's a long career. We've seen a lot of guys get sidetracked. You look at Rory McIlroy, who, you know, he's gone 7 years now without winning a big one and in the prime of what should be the prime of his career. And so there's mystifying things that kind of get these players off track. But Rom is so focused. He's so single-minded. And he's so dedicated. I think he's just going to keep going. And it's going to be really fun to watch.
I do, too. I agree. Alan Chipnook, my guest. Alan, one last thought. You also have another great piece up for Golf Digest about Tiger's win at Torrey in 2008 and how that really was the end of the Tiger era, although we didn't know it at the time. You know, the game has changed. Times have changed. But, for instance, how much younger, taller, and more powerful are the players now compared to even just 2008?
Yeah, there's some interesting stats in that story that I learned in the research. I mean, it has become such a power game, and Tiger definitely attracted a different kind of athlete. And when you there's an interesting chart about the average height on tour players, and you see a huge spike that corresponds with like all these 8 and 10 year olds who got into the game when Tiger was doing his thing, and then they reached the tour. I think 40% now are 6'2 or taller. I mean, the stereotype of the little golf nerd who could not succeed in other sports, while still there's a grain of truth. I mean, there's some big boys who are now playing the sport, and they're swinging the club at speeds that the old timers could not even comprehend. And so, unfortunately, you know, a lot of the playing field date to the 19th century. I mean, every sport, the athletes are getting bigger and stronger, but they cancel each other out because they're playing defense. So you can have a 6'9" point guard that would make Bob Cousy, you know, look ridiculous. But now the dude who's guarding him is 6'7" and just as quick. And so it holds the sport in check. But in golf, the courses can't keep up. And so that's part of the tension in the game right now, is these modern athletes who are fully optimized in every way with statistics and launch monitors and cutting edge training methods and diets and Swedish nannies and the whole bit. They roll up to a course that was built 100+ years ago, and it just can't contain them. But, you know, from an entertainment perspective, it's fun to watch these guys smash the ball. And I'm not sure if the casual fan worries about, you know, some of these classic courses being rendered obsolete, but for sure the game has changed rapidly. I mean, John Rahm, like, his thighs look like they're on loan from a redwood forest. I mean, he's just, the amount of force he creates is incredible. And but you still have to hit the shots, still have to make the putts, and so that's always going to be the differentiator, even as the game moves more towards a power sport. And that's why Rahm in particular is exciting, because he has an old school feel and touch and knack for scoring that a guy like Bryson DeChambeau or some of these others that's eluded them. So I think he's the best of kind of the old and the new way.
Alan Chipnook, my guest. Really quickly, what about DeChambeau? Like, there were a lot of world-class players that completely imploded, but none that came in with 44. Like, what did you think watching what happened to him, and exactly what did happen to him other than Torrey?
Yeah, it was. I mean, he almost jarred his tee shot. He was 1 inch from what would have been an iconic ace on the eighth hole. And even so, that put him in the lead, and he looked so in control. And you know, Bryson is—he's a head case, right? And it works for him in that he's on this never-ending quest to improve and to try and outsmart the game of golf. And he's made some headway, and he's made some progress, and he's found some side doors. But ultimately, there are a lot of demons upstairs with him, and he just hit a couple shots, and he completely went mental. And when you're swinging the club at the speed he is, when you start holding on a little tight and you start trying to steer it, bad things happen. And he just lost all the freedom with which he'd been playing with. And he had no idea where the golf ball was going. It was incredible to watch. I mean, guys get overpowered by a U.S. Open setup with some regularity, but not when they're at the very top of the leaderboard with nine holes to play. That was a historic collapse. The shoot 44 when you're leading the tournament at the turn is just utterly mind-boggling. I mean, it's beyond John Vandeveld. He played great for 71 holes. Like, Bryson completely lost the plot, and honestly, it was delicious. And it's fun to watch the torture be visited upon this guy, because he brings so much of it upon himself. And I like Bryson. I like writing about him. I think he's a breath of fresh air. But at the same time, it's kind of more fun when he's struggling, because it just sends him down more rabbit holes, and who knows what's next. But yeah, you can't overstate. That would be like basically an NBA player who's got 52 points through three quarters. He went like 0 for 19 in the fourth quarter, right, and got blown out. Like, it's in game 7 of the NBA Finals. Like, it's just hard to even come up with parallels for how bad that performance was. But it was certainly riveting to watch.
Oh, nothing like it. He is a longtime golf writer. He's a contributor to Golf Digest, a recipient, as I mentioned, of 11 first-place awards from the Golf Writers Association of America, a partner at the Fire Pit Collective, and the author of 6 different books. My man, nobody better, Alan Shipnook, my guest. Alan, great to have you back. Thank you so much. That was a blast.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Alan Shipnook, man, we put guys on to talk about that sport, and there are a number that are very, very, very good. My man Rex Hoggard, right near the top of the list. Robert Lucetich is awesome. But you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody better than Alan Shipnook. Those three are in their own class. Awesome, awesome conversation. All right, when we come back, how about an ATP? Somebody pick me up with a good ATP. Hit me up right now. Last segment coming up next. It is Smack Off Week. Running late, so let me get you to break with a sports update. ATP, we do it every single Monday. Clones submit a question to me. In fact, it's gotten to a point where I get several questions, and that's the best part about it. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Getting to the ATP in 1 second. Hey, Jim, I understand Ricky's confidence and being really happy with himself. Regards, Dirk in Irvine asking Rome about the Neiman Daytona Rolex. Let's go to Irvine, Dirk in the 949.
Long story short, for the last year, I have been prepping my wife to allow me to enter this auction to buy this watch. And I, slip of the tongue one night, said, well, you know, Jim Rome is into watches. And, of course, my wife absolutely worships your wife. We used one of your homes that you sold as a comp. Every time my wife is at the plastic surgeon's office doing something to her breast, she flips open one of those magazines. There's your lovely wife doing something in terms of charity. So, Jim, I need to ask you and your lovely wife, Janet, are you bidding on the original Neiman Daytona watch back in New York today?
Wow, you can have that one. Go get it. Now, what do you think it's going to cost you to get that watch?
They're talking about this watch going for as much as $10 million.
It's all you, my man.
Come on, Dale Roman.
Go get it. What an incredible phone call. An absolutely amazing telephone call. Mike in Buffalo. You know what, Mike? He writes, unwar humble braggers. Hey, Mike, normally you try to point out how you're helping them and not hurting them, and you're always hurting them. In fact, you're wrecking them generally. That definitely helped him. That is a great reset of a phone call. There was absolutely nothing humble in that humble brag. When my wife is sitting in that chair getting enhancements and opens up a magazine and sees your beautiful wife doing more charitable work. All right, let's go to the ATP. That was a great phone call. No, I was not involved in that bidding for that $10 million Rolex. ATP, hi, Jim. What is your favorite ride at Disneyland? Thanks, Bella B. in Calgary. The exit. The side door. The exit turnstile to get the hell out. The shuttle bus, which takes me back to the parking lot. The fence that I climb over to get the hell out of there. Dad, we just got here. Oh, no, you want to see a ride? Spin this turnstile, and it takes us directly back to our car. I'll give you even better rides, son. The fast lane of the I-5 South back to our home. Best ride ever. Happiest place on earth. Biggest pain in the ass on earth. I've had some bad experiences, as you might imagine, at Disneyland. Happiest place on earth. Okay, all right. All right, let's talk about that for a minute. If it's the happiest place on earth, why is it that I remember one year we took our kids and Jake was maybe... Jake, I'm sure, will love this story. I don't know, five. We weren't five steps into that yard when he encountered somebody in a costume. That kid didn't sleep for the next 5 years. I was so pissed. I'm like, are you kidding? Are we going to go through this every single night? He's afraid? I can't say how many different ways I try to tell the kid. It's a dope with a mouse head. It's nothing, man. Rome, sports car or American muscle? Eric in Orlando, of course. I know that's a trick question for some of you. I can really appreciate American muscle. I mean, my first ever car was a Ford Mustang. Before, yeah, I know you're going to say, hey, Rome, what about the XR4 Ti? That was not my first car. That was my first new car. My first ever car was a 67 Mustang, although there was no muscle in that bitch. God, that car was a pain in the ass. Three on the floor, by the way. Three speed. How weird is that? That said, I love American muscle. I definitely can appreciate American muscle. I love Vet Guy. Love a Camaro. Still love a Mustang. But if you're going to ask me the question straight up, I'm going sports car. Mr. Rome, what brings you the most happiness? Respectfully, Edward Marino, San Diego. What brings me the most happiness? Gin? NyQuil gin. That's not the answer anymore. What brings me the most happiness? Not going within 100 miles of Disneyland? Let's see, what brings me the most happiness? The Boomtown or the Iggy outbump? That, meaning the show is over and I don't need any more bad calls? Nope, not that. You want to know what brings me the most happiness right now? Health. Health. That we're healthy and happy. Happiness brings me the most happiness. That's what brings me the most happiness. Fact. If you're asking me, well, that's cute, Rome. Now a little less cheesy. What are your favorite things to do? Spend time with the boys, man. My kids, my sons. And Jano. Family, man. Watching Logan on the bump brings me happiness. Logan and I, it was tough. Logan. Our girl, Gadgetta, had a really tough day yesterday. But for Father's Day, Logan and I went out to Santa Anita. Blast. Had a great time. Father's Sunday, out at the track, watched Gajetta, had that kind of pre-race sweat you get. Best time. Great time. Jake Rome has already made it back to Madtown. He's in Wisconsin waiting for us. Okay, there is your ATP. And then there's this. Dear contractor, stay late, come in early. Pro tip, don't show up at all. Regards, all other contractors. Chioff. Hey, Rome, did you say the new guy does not get a vote? Well, tell him. I know how it feels to be excluded. And there's always a voice for him in city government. Signed, Bobby Desmati. War Janet Rome hosting a Lady Clone smack off on Thursday.
War Lady Clone.
Desmati was not excluded. Desmati quit. Like 14 hours after he got hired. Huge call brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, they're convenient, they're known for their guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service. From professional parts people you know you can trust, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Now I'm done. My thanks to Alan Shipnook, Isaac Bruce, Chris Mannix. Now we are one day closer. It is Smack Off Week. 3 days and three shows until Smack Off 27. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.